Yep. It is, isn't it? You come home, you see your kids, and you see what's important. That's good. Very good. Excellent. Okay. We have been created by God and for God. What comes into our mind when we think of God? If our view of God is flawed, our view of life will be flawed. God has not been silent on these matters. He has shown us who he is in the Old Testament and now through Jesus Christ from when he stepped on the planet Earth. Jesus is the exact representation of God, personified in human flesh. To see what God is like, we see in the person of Jesus Christ. He teaches. He is a creator. He is omnipotent, sovereign. He is the judge. He is the Lord. He is the King. He is the most mighty one. And so in all of God's greatness and his bigness and his, you know, just how he's so powerful, Jesus comes to earth and he says to us, he compacts it all for us and says, he is your father. He is your father. In the Old Testament, father is used about 15 times, maybe 18 at the most. In the Gospels, the four books, it's used 189 times. Father, relating to our Heavenly Father, our God. And so, he teaches us to talk to God as a father, not a boss. He's not your boss, as a father. I love that song we sang about God our Father with his arms open wide. What does that mean? That means you can come to him. That you can come to him. The door is open. His arms are open. You can come to him. You can come in boldness, in confidence. You can come and you can approach your living God. Now, we all have, you know, different perspectives on God our Father. And sometimes we can have a warped perspective. I can remember that I used to think of God was someone like on a throne with a big stick. And the minute you did something, you're going to get a whack. Why was that? Because I can remember my earthly father. There was a lot of good attributes about him, but he would like, when something wrong happened, he would stick his hands in his mouth and go, God is going to punish you. That's how it was. And so, so you have this wrong view of God. And we weren't a Christian household at all, by any stretch of the imagination. So, how we view God is very important on how we see our world, how we see our living God. God said, when Jesus was on earth and the Holy Spirit came upon him, God spoke, a voice from heaven, this is my son. In what? In who I am well pleased with. So for us dads, fathers, grandfathers, it's important for us to give our children the right perspective of a father. We need to encourage our children. We need to say to them, I am well pleased with you. I love you. You are important to me. Whether they succeed or they fail, whether they get 49 out of 100 or 99 out of 100, we want to be there loving them at all times. At all times. Now, you might think as your kids get older, you know, that my son's 30, 127, my daughter's 24, they love being affirmed. They love being told that I love you. You're a great dad. You're so good. They love being hugged. They still love being kissed. I thought that once they got adults, I thought, no, they won't. But no, they want to be hugged. Hug your children, hug your grandkids. So maybe you're here today and you're a single mum. I take my hat off to you for all the work, the hard work, doing it on your own. You are amazing. I've seen single mums raise up great, successful kids. Don't think that because you're on your own that you're failing or that you're going to fail. You won't. Okay? Stay close to God. Stay close to stay close to church. Be involved. Be a part of it. I'll be honest with you, I'm a pretty good dad, right? I'm not the perfect father by any means. But the saving grace for me was being in church, going to anything I could go to with discipleship courses, when there was marriage courses going on, I would go to everything. And that just helped me see how you do life and how you do things. I see Andrew Baker here, and he's a single dad. What an amazing man. I see him raising his son, Zach, and man, what an awesome relationship they have. And you know, a lot of that is Andrew's relationship with God. He serves in the church. He could go, oh, I'm not going to serve. I'm just going to spend my time with my son, or you know. But I well done, Andrew. You're just a great dad. It was beautiful listening to Kaylee this morning honoring her father. How good was that? I was so touching. I was so moved by that. You know, he's been a great example to her. And so this is what you want to hear, and this is what you want to see, and you want to be around dads. Doesn't matter how long you've been a dad, whether you've been a dad for 2 days or 22 years, go to some of these dads and talk to them. If you're struggling in some areas in your fatherhood or marriage, please talk to somebody. Talk to them. Yeah? Get help. Don't just struggle. Don't stay on struggle street, please. So we talk to God as Father. Now, there are many dads, okay? Many types of dad. There's the absent father. Maybe your father passed away. Maybe your father's there, but he's not present. He's just not around. Your mum and dad divorced, and he just shows no interest. There's the abusive father who is just, you know, physically abusive, verbally abusive. And if you're any of those, please get help. There's the performance-based father. You do this, and I'll do this for you. It's all about performance. You do well, you tick my boxes, and I'll do one big tick for you. You know, there's the antagonistic father. He's not for you always chipping away at you, against you. He's competitive with you, stands in your way. There's a passive father, not being there. He's not being the man that he is. He's not stepping up. That's the passive father. Did I say that before? Maybe I did. Number 6, the empowering father. who is one who will encourage you whether you fail or succeed. Always told you he loved you regardless of failures, and always giving positive reinforcements to his children, sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. We have the scripture. Can we go to Luke chapter 10, please? The Our Father. Thank you. Father, may your name be kept holy. Okay, we'll start from there. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples, Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need. And forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Now, we all know that prayer, which is fantastic. I love it. I use that as a guide for when I pray. Like, Lord, give me this day my daily food. It's not just physical food, but it's spiritual. Lord, I need wisdom. Whatever it is I need, I ask God for it. And I go down, I slow down. Have I sinned? Am I holding sin against anybody? Do I need to ask for forgiveness? Whatever. And I go down. But this here, this is really interesting. The next phase is then teaching them more about prayer. He used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit. I've got nothing to give him to eat. And suppose the man calls out and says, look, I'm going to bed. Don't bother me. I'm locked up for the night. Door's locked. My family and all, we're in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this. So Jesus goes on to say, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, but he says, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And then Jesus said, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. What are you asking God for today? What are you seeking God for? What are you knocking on his door for today? What are you asking for? Is it something physical? Is it something emotional? Is it something spiritual? Maybe it's something physical. Maybe you want a home. Maybe you're looking for a husband or a wife. Maybe you are wanting a child, but you've been struggling and it's difficult. Maybe you need healing in some area of your life. Maybe it's a relationship, restoration of a relationship. My wife has had a very difficult time with relationship with her family. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. An amazing thing, and we've been praying for a long time. This week, she got a message from her sister, who barely ever used to speak to her. Hadn't spoken for years, but anyway. Gets a message saying, do you want to do something for Father's Day? For our dad? My wife comes into the living room. She goes, I've just got a message from my sister. I can't believe this. She's asking, do we want to do something for Dad for Father's Day? Of course you do. Obviously. And so I just think that's a breakthrough. Through years of asking and seeking and knocking, I know Pastor Stephen and Pastor Unami have prayed for my wife when they've been in meetings, and my wife said, can we pray for this? And together, they pray in those areas. When we have those prayer nights once a month, and we put on the sheets on the walls, what are we praying for? My wife would go up there. She'd pray for that. Other people would pray for it. Don't give up. Are you wanting a home? Ask God. Seek. Keep on asking. Ask the Father. Ask Him. It's okay. It's okay to have a good car. It's okay to have a home. It's okay to have nice things. God's not, oh, I want you to just live on, you know, $2.50 a week. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you a promotion. So what are you asking for? I think some of us, some of us have had dreams and you've let them go. There's things you've believed God for and you've let them go. God's saying, pick that up again. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. I'm just going to share this story in 2021. Let me just check here. In 2021, I went to an event. I got invited to an event. And so I went. And after lunch, later in the afternoon, we all went downstairs. I said, guys, there's coffees at the barn. And if you want to get a drink, you can get a drink, beer, whatever you want. So I went downstairs. And my brother had introduced me to this gentleman. And so I got chatting with him, and just a young man in his 30s. This is the day was 19th of November 2021. And so I got chatting with him, and I just, you know, got a family, got kids. No, we've been trying, but, you know, we just haven't been able to succeed. We, you know, he said he used God. So God just hasn't blessed us with any, you know. So I said to him, all right, and I listened to him. And then I said, look, I'm going to pray that you will have a child. So at the bar, noise going on, I says, I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm just going to look at you, and I'm just going to pray, God bless you. I says, I want to know, once you have a child, I want you to let me know. Let my brother know, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, okay. So I start praying for him. Prayed, you know, 6 months later, 9 months later, a year later. I'm kind of asking my brother, Joe, have you heard anything? Then I happened to know one of his cousins, and I'd ask one of his cousins as well. Hey, Paul has, you know, had a kid. And I didn't want to say that too much, because it's very private for people. Just look, have they had any kids yet? Nah, Charlie, you know. Anyway, a year and a half, I can't remember exactly where it was down the line, but there was nothing happening. And I was like, I think I'm hearing things. Because whenever I prayed for them, I would hear the sound of pitter-patter. And that's what I would hold on to. Lord, I just keep hearing this sound. Am I going crazy or what? And so I let it go. And I can't remember how many months after I just stopped praying. And I just couldn't shake it. So I picked it up again and started praying. So, okay, God, you know. 3 years later. Anyway, I was so frustrated. A couple of months ago, I rang him to tell him that, look, I'm still believing for you that you're going to have a child. And so I'm talking to him. He goes, Charlie, right now I have my 2-month-old daughter sitting on my lap. Can you show that photo for me, please? So he sent me this photo, and he thanked me for my prayers. And so he never told anybody up until it was like really late. Because I said to him, I said, wait till I see my brother. Wait till I see Paul. They didn't tell me anything. But he said, look, Charlie, we didn't tell anyone until really, really late. But he said, thank you very much. And so that's his little girl. He sent me that photo. How beautiful is that? So my point is, don't give up. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Sometimes we don't have because we haven't asked. So ask. Just keep on asking. Don't be shy. We had, you remember Damien and Jean that used to come down here and play? Yes, okay. When they first came to Perth 3 years ago, they came to Perth and they had no children and they couldn't have children. And so we prayed for them. We prayed at the front. We prayed every chance we had. We prayed for them all the time. Anyway, it was still difficult, so they had to they're going to do IVF. And so the week that they were supposed to go to get their IVF, they had to prepare, get their bodies ready. And so they did. But on the Monday morning, Jana just felt no weight. So she didn't. So she tells her husband, "Darling, we're not doing it. I feel like God's saying, just wait." And so Damien was a bit frustrated. "Oh, I can't believe this, you know, these women, you know. I get all ready." And anyway, so I think it was a few weeks later, a month later, she fell pregnant. And God is just so good. So don't give up. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. When I was 19 years of age, that's when I came to Christ. Okay, Jesus came into my life. And up until, at 14, I started working and I started saving money part-time. And then when I was 15 or 16, I started my apprenticeship and I saved a lot of money. And when I came to Christ, I began to pray, "God, I've got this money. I want to buy an investment home." And so I prayed into that. I kept on asking, "What shall I do?" You know, blah, blah, blah. Kept asking, kept seeking, kept knocking. Kept asking, kept seeking, kept knocking. I was on holidays one week and my mum says, "Can you take me to work?" I says, "Yeah." So I took this shortcut, went down this road, and there was this house for sale on the corner. And it just really was like, whoa, just really got my attention. And then I picked up my mum after work. And during the day, I was just contemplating, thinking about it. I think I might have drove down there and looked at it again. And then on the way home from work, I picked up my mum on the way home. Went past the same place. She says, "Gee, that's a nice house." And I knew then, I thought, God's got his hand on this. There's something for me. Anyway, I ended up buying this house. Back then it was $28,000. I should have bought five. So God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to invest. If you want to buy a second home, go do it. If you can do it, do it. It's okay. Just remember your prize. Just remember what you're about, your mission. Remember what your mission is about. Jesus is our prize in life. He is our priority in life. We want to fulfill God's mission on this earth. And God wants to bless you financially so that you can also bless his kingdom financially. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? Don't you agree? Now, we want to put on a youth pastor. We want to give him more days each week so he can continue to reach out in that community. We want to be helping people in Liberia and Sierra Leone so the ministry can grow. So God does want to bless you financially. But it's not just for you, it's to also bless God's kingdom. But you ask God where he wants you to put, you know, obviously you tithe into the storehouse and you do offerings and all that. But you ask God, "Lord, what do you want me to invest? What do you want me to resource?" And let me tell you, if God can get money through you, he'll get money to you. Do you get that? It's true. He will bless and pour out his spirit on people who God can entrust. Many times he'll do that. So, let's continue to be people that pray and seek and knock. Maybe there's some areas of your life that you're struggling with, and you need to ask, you need to seek, and you need to knock. Maybe you're struggling in some behavioral areas, which could be that something that's come down the generations. Sometimes that can happen where there are entanglements from our great-great-great-grandparents. And there is some of our thinking that's just wrong, or some things that we do which is being passed down through generations. And God is into breaking generational curses. Okay? And so if you're struggling there, or you ask God about it, you seek God about it, you keep knocking, I'll tell you, God will reveal and show you. Today we're going to pray for people. And I do believe God's anointing is here to touch lives in all of those areas. God wants to shift your view of how God sees you and also how you see God. That's really important, because God says, knock, come confidently, come shamelessly and ask. Wow. Come and ask. Something that really spurred me on, this saying that says, what runs in the fathers will run in the children. That really scared me many, many years ago. And I was like, Lord, if there's anything in me that's really bad and negative, I don't want this on my kids. And God has broken lots of things off my life, because I don't want my kids carrying rubbish that I carried from my family's family. So God wants to bless you. He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit on you. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, I'll just finish off with this. It's called the prayer of Jabez. And Jabez, this is what he says. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my borders, that your hand would be upon me and that you would keep me from harm. The Lord answered all of his prayers. His prayer was, Lord, help me to succeed. Lord, keep your hand upon me. So when God's hand is on you, it's actually opened. It's not a clenched fist like, oh, I don't want to give you anything, I'm withdrawing blessing. No. This is a prayer you can pray. Lord, keep your hand upon me. It's God's hand of blessing. Lord, I pray for my sister, Lord, that your hand would be upon her. The blessing of the living God. Lord, that you cause her to prosper, that you will cause her to be in good health. Protect her, Lord. Keep her, we pray. Thank you for, Lord, the promotion, Father. Thank you for your goodness and your graciousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask God to bless you. Ask Him. What are you asking for your children, or for your husband, or for your wife, or for your church? What are you asking for? Start asking. Start seeking. Start knocking. Let's stand. During the week, I went for a walk. It's called the North Mile, and it's a really long stretch. From Port Beach, it's 3.5 kilometres, and I do this walk in the mornings, not every morning, but in some mornings. And I see lots of fishermen fishing, and I say good morning to them. Some I have a chat with, some I don't. I got to the very end, and there was a young man there who was fishing, and I just said good morning to him, and we just struck up a conversation. We started just talking about fishing, about a little bit about life, and then I finished up, and I said, look, I'm going to head off. I just want to let you know something. I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. Guess what he said to me? He said to me, I'm so glad somebody does. And he was genuine. And then that conversation, because then he started asking me questions. Then I was there for another, I don't know how long, it was a long time, but it was beautiful to share God's love to him. He began to open up about how his stepmother, abused him. How she used to hit him with a belt. And not only a belt, the belt she used to cut at the ends. And had straps on it. I says, what about your dad? Where was your dad? He said, my dad used to work offshore. She'd threaten me if I said something to him, I'd cop more. So where's your dad today? Oh, he lives in Bunbury and, you know, it's just a mess, mate. So there's people that you love, there's people in your neighborhood that you need to be asking God for, that you need to be seeking God about. You need to be knocking on God's door for, asking God to touch them and minister to them. Don't be shy with God. Be confident. He's not standing there with a belt in his hand. He isn't. He's the wonderful Father with his arms open wide. If you'd like any prayer for healing, I prayed for people for healing this morning, and also people who have been believing God for things and they're asking God for things and they're seeking God for things. I want you to come out now, please, and pray. Just come out. If you've been asking, seeking God for things, come. If you've dropped the ball, come and pick it up again. Begin to ask, begin to seek, begin to knock. Begin to ask, begin to seek, and begin to knock. Don't hold back. His arms are wide open to you. Thank you, Father. If you need healing, please come. I want to pray for people that need healing. If you had an accident or any damage to do with your brain, please come. I want to pray for you. But let me know if that's you, okay? I prayed for some people this morning at Frio, too. If there's anyone else that needs prayer in that area, please come. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's sing.